now like to welcome the expert on all things declassified, Mark Curtis.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Can you hear me at the back? Okay. So I'm a historian, an author, a journalist, a father, and a human being, and I support Julian Assange for all those reasons. I want actually to talk about what we can do, because Julian has supporters all over the world, much larger numbers of people supporting him than you'll ever see in the media. I mean, there's 500 of us here tonight, but there are people all over the world who feel the way I do, feel the way you do, and want to support him and get him out of jail. I have 8 things that I think we can all do. At least we can each do at least 1 or 2 of these things. So bear with me while I quickly run through these things. One is, first of all, we need to inform ourselves. So read the Defend WikiLeaks website. Read the Courage Foundation website to inform ourselves. Obviously, there's no point in relying on the establishment media, not unless you want to brainwash yourself. The second thing is, we need to challenge the media. Expose journalists. Challenge their falsehoods. On the Defend WikiLeaks site, there's a document that lists over 100 falsehoods told about Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. It's very worth reading. It's a reminder of just how atrocious media reporting has been about Julian and WikiLeaks. Challenge the media by writing to journalists and pointing out their falsehoods. Will it do any good? Not in itself. Journalists won't immediately listen. Most are sheep, following their own careers. But it might gain attention and put pressure on them, and it might make them think twice, and other members of the public will see other people challenging them. We are meeting at an extraordinary time. The UK media is in the midst of the biggest propaganda campaign since the war to destroy Corbyn. It makes the 2003 propaganda campaign over Iraq. I mean, it makes the 2003 propaganda campaign over Iraq look like a sideshow. And what's going on at the moment is totally relentless. It's every day. And Julian has been vilified by the same forces that are now attacking Jeremy Corbyn, largely the same forces. There have been 3 major propaganda tropes: that Assange is a rapist, that he's a Russian.
Is deliberate falsehoods, like we saw in The Guardian last year when they ran a campaign running for about 6 months involving numerous articles falsely accusing Assange of being a Russian asset, which culminated in a report which is a year old yesterday, this ridiculous story about Manafort secretly meeting Assange in the embassy. All these stories were done in order to vilify and demonize Julian Assange in the eyes of the public. There's a third thing that we can do. We need to press human rights organizations to speak out more in favor of Julian. Enormous number of human rights organizations have done that, actually. An enormous number of free speech organizations are supporting him. But one interesting thing, look at Amnesty International. You know how many tweets Amnesty International has put out on Julian Assange in the last few years? 2 since 2012. How many articles has Amnesty International published about Julian Assange in the last few years? 2 since 2012. That's actually pretty disgraceful.
Yeah.
Amnesty has also put out a tweet specifically saying that it does not consider Assange to be a prisoner of conscience.
We need to be pressing Amnesty and some other organizations who have not spoken out enough. The fourth thing is MPs. It can be surprising who comes out of the woodwork. Some people might remember the Lori Love extradition case a few years ago when 100 MPs came out and opposed Lori Love's extradition to the US, largely on health reasons. I mean, we're privileged to have here tonight Chris Williamson. Chris has faced his own propaganda campaign and has been the one MP who's really spoken out in favour of justice and legality in Julian Assange's case. And despite all his efforts in putting down an early day motion in Parliament calling on the UK government to release Julian Assange, only four other MPs have so far signed that EDM, which is a bit of a scandal. So we need to write to, press, encourage, cajole MPs to actually take a stand on this issue. I mean, these are the people who are meant to represent us and hold the executive to account. I mean, I know I'm confusing the UK with a democracy, because in our system, as we clearly see in this case, the law has been stitched up. The media is largely a platform for the elite, and the political class is an appendage of the executive. That's why we, as ordinary people, need to take action on these issues. The fifth thing we can do is join and support the various grassroots organisations who are campaigning on Julian Assange's behalf. There's the Don't Extradite Assange campaign. There's the Julian Assange Defence Committee that helped organise tonight's meeting. Loads of events are planned over the next few weeks, culminating in a global day of protest in February, which is when the hearing, the extradition hearing, will be held. And we need to be building a global social justice movement in favour of Julian Assange, and that is the point of these campaigns. So I recommend joining these groups, following them, seeing what you can do to lend your support to them. The sixth thing, if you're a researcher or an independent journalist, the public needs better informing on how the legal process in the UK is skewed. So I've just started an organisation called Declassified, working with my colleague Matt Kennard, another journalist. And we've just revealed some of the connections between the Chief Magistrate, Lady Arbuthnot, and Mr. Military Industrial Complex, her husband, and her son, who's linked to the UK Secret Services. All of this is based on open source information. There's no skullduggery involved in our investigations. These things are easy to investigate, but there's lots more that can be done by independently minded journalists. We can expose who exactly are some of the key figures involved in the Assange case. I mean, who really is Sajid Javid, who signed the extradition order for Julian Assange? Who really is Liz Truss, who appointed Lady Arbuthnot in 2016? And who really is Priti Patel, the Home Secretary? What are the links between these people and US neocon forces behind the prosecution of Julian Assange? In what other ways is this case being politicized? What else is being hidden from us? Are there any officials prepared to reveal anything? This is an agenda for serious, independently minded journalists. The seventh thing, the public needs to know why saving Julian Assange is in their interest, in our interest. The US is asserting the right to prosecute a non-US person who's not in the US under US laws. That is absolutely terrifying. Can you imagine if Russia wanted to prosecute an NGO or a journalist in London for revealing Russian crimes? It's exactly the same principle. In that case, everyone would be making a yahoo about it all over the country, rather than the silence that prevails largely in the mainstream media. The eighth thing is that I want to praise Niels Meltzer's work, which is groundbreaking, hugely important, as everyone knows. We need more legal figures, lawyers, people associated with the law in this country, to challenge the illegality of the UK defying the UN Special Rapporteur, defying the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention, holding Assange after this ridiculous bail sentence was completed, and of the state subjecting somebody to psychological torture. I mean, all these things are plainly illegal. We need legal figures to speak out more about these, and about the conflicts of interest involved in the chief magistrate presiding over this case. They should be speaking out just like the doctors, that Lisa was talking about earlier, have spoken out. In the end, this whole case comes down to something very simple. I mean, you're either on the side of people revealing crimes and secrets, or on the side of people committing them. We either act in this world to challenge power, or to serve it. I've met Julian Assange many times in the embassy when he was there. And he's not a normal person. He has a brilliant strategic mind, coupled with a tremendous attention to detail. Actually a very unusual combination in my experience. Normal people don't invent WikiLeaks. They don't mass reveal the crimes of states or survive in an embassy for years on end without compromise, being spied on. But actually, it doesn't matter ultimately, in my view, how extraordinary Julian Assange is. He is a person who might literally die in a British jail. So if we're decent, we'll do whatever we want. Whatever we can. Thanks.